Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Adad. Thanks for joining me, as always, here on a Wednesday evening. Rhino in Studio X. If anyone tries to take our goalpost down, Rhino will prevent that from happening. He is the last line of defense on the Thunder and Lightning goalpost. But I would rather have no man in charge of that sacred task. We are brought to you by Dossett Big Four. We are presented by Yuengling Flight. You should have, if you were in Davis Wade Stadium on Saturday, I hope you cracked open a Yuengling Flight after that one. That is the perfect beer to celebrate a big Bulldog victory with. Crisp, clean, and cold, but best of all, only 95 calories and 2.6 grams of carbs. Never settle! America's newest light beer from its oldest brewery, Yuengling Flight. Take flight with Yuengling. Woo, buddy! Let me tell you something about Saturday night at Davis Wade Stadium. It's difficult for me. I won't lie to you. You know, because it's a professional press box, and I take that seriously. I don't want to be that guy that's up there hooting and hollering like an idiot because his team is winning. Everybody knows what I am. Everybody knows that I'm a Bulldog deep down. Not even deep down. I wear it on my sleeve, brother. But you gotta, I'm there to work. I'm there to represent Super Talk. I'm there to, you know, provide my coverage. But it was difficult. It was difficult when Brennan Thompson caught that ball to not rant and rave like a madman. And then when Hunter Washington makes an interception, because never mind the emotional attachment of the game, it was just a hell of a moment in college football. If you were just watching that game, if you're watching that game in New York or Los Angeles or Florida or wherever, and you have no connection to Mississippi State or Arizona State, and you just watch that game, that was an unbelievable final 90 seconds of college football. As good as it gets in the great sport of college football. So for me, and I talked about this yesterday on Sports Talk Mississippi, but if you missed it, I'll go over it again. The impact that I saw from Mississippi State fans, and I think that the way the game played out with the final second comeback, I don't know that the state storms the field. I don't know if the fans storm the field if they just win that game like 30-17. If they come out in the second half and they just keep control and there's a late touch, I don't think it goes the same way. I think it was such an emotional moment of the last 2 years combined with an unbelievable finish in a game that everybody thought State was dead and buried. And it had to get out, and it did. And I talked about this yesterday that, you know, for me, looking at State over the past few years, you know, as a lot of you are, I'm on Facebook. And as you can imagine, I got a lot of friends that are State fans. I got a lot of friends that are Ole Miss fans. And when you see people's pictures from the weekend, the last couple of years, the Ole Miss fans, they have post-game pictures. They're taking pictures of the field after the game, and they're all smiles after the game. And their posts read, you know, like, we had such a great time watching our Rebels win and blah, blah, blah. And for State fans, you would get some pregame pictures and maybe some in-game pictures, but by and large, that was it. And the posts were always like, well, we didn't get the result we wanted, but we had a great time seeing each other. It's great to be back at Starkville. This past Saturday was the first time in 2 years where State fans were able to put those post-game pictures up, and a lot of them out there on the field. And be proud about being a Mississippi State fan. It's been basically since, you know, Coach Leach passed away. Think about the Egg Bowl in 2022. Great day to be a Bulldog for Mississippi State fans. They were proud about their program. They were excited about the direction it was going. And then, you know, less than a month later, it's all taken away from you. And it's just been this moment of getting and just moving forward to get to Saturday night. And the big thing for State now is to make sure that's not the highlight of the season. Although I do have to say one thing, Rhino, and you'll love this, I think. A buddy of mine stormed the field and ran into three Arizona fans who had shown up simply to root against the Sun Devils. Total pettiness. And they stormed the field and could not have been more delighted from what I was told. That, my friends, that is the joy of college football. I told my buddy, I was like, you have to go to the Territorial Cup now. You got to go to Arizona State and root for the Wildcats. That's the way it's got to be. I thought that was absolutely hilarious. For State, the mission now is that doesn't need to be the highlight of the season. We don't need to be looking back at the end of November and saying, well, we had that moment in September. This is the path to forward. You have to build on what happened Saturday, the same way Arizona State did. Now, Arizona State built into a college football playoff team. I don't think that's happening for Mississippi State. Let's not be overly reactive here. But can State be a bowl team now? Absolutely. They have a path to a bowl game. They have a path where they can win the remaining non-conference games. They should be undefeated when they play Tennessee. And from there, it's about getting two more. But I would think you can have expectations is not the right word, but you can have the belief that Mississippi State can win more than two SEC games. Defensively, they're a lot better. Offensively, they've got a lot of big play potential. They need to find some more consistency, some more ability to move the chains, to keep the ball. But if they can get that, and think back to a season ago with the way their offensive line played, it got better as the season went along. I think the same can be said for this season. I think, you know, week two, they played okay. By week five or six, they should be playing pretty good. I think that's going to be the case. It was a season ago, and I think they can do it again. This wasn't the biggest win in Mississippi State history, by any stretch of the imagination. It's probably not in the top 10, maybe not in the top 20. Because, a lot of it depends on what happens the rest of the way with Arizona State. I think they're still a pretty good football team. They'll be a factor in the Big 12. They'll certainly be a bowl team. But not the biggest win. Is it the craziest win? I mean, it's in the discussion. It's in the same discussion with, the 99 Egg Bowl and, the 80 Alabama game. That's those are also some of the greatest wins. But just in terms of just weird endings, yeah, put it in discussion. But did State ever need a win more than what they got Saturday night? Especially in the way that it happened. To go from 17-0 and you think, okay, wow, this is the best they've played in 2 years and it's going to be okay. And that's taken away from you. And now you're down with 90 seconds to go and you don't think you have any chance to get it back like that. State fans needed that boost. And you've seen some of that from the national media. We had Andy Staples on earlier on Sports Talk Mississippi. He talked about it. So I was happy for those fans because they've had such a tough go of it. I don't expect the Ole Miss fans out there to jump on board with that. That's fine. That's what makes college football great is the rivalries. But a lot of your national media has picked up on the idea of like, gosh, since Mike Leach died, it's been a tough go for Mississippi State. We're glad they had this moment on Saturday. And again, State fans are glad they had this moment. And State's team is glad they have this moment. But in this situation, this can't be the best moment of the season. We cannot look back in November and say that the highlight of the year was that game against Arizona State. I guess you could say it in terms of the highlight of the craziest play of the year, but you want to have bigger and better wins. You want to have SEC wins. It's been a long time since you won an SEC game. Coming up on 2 years. You gotta break that streak. Can you do it in 2 weeks? I said that if State is 4-0, I would predict 5-0. I don't know if I'm going to change that or not. I don't think I will. I don't see any reason to. Are we talking enough about the touchdown-saving tackle inside the five by Brumfield at the end? We are not. In reality, maybe the play of the game. That and the goal line stand. When you have a game-winning touchdown, sometimes defensive plays get lost in the shuffle. But those plays, the tackle there and then the three plays to keep them out of the end zone, I mean, it's a totally different game. If you're trying to score a touchdown there, Arizona State probably is not going to blitz in that situation. They're probably just going to play let you try to take it down the field, and they'll tighten up when they have to. So, yeah, we're not talking about it enough, for sure. When State scored, I waited 10 seconds expecting a flag. Greg, you're not alone. You're not alone. I scanned the field. I scanned it pretty quick. That would have been there would have been a full-on riot if they're throwing a flag on that one. So, and loud, guys. I can't stress enough how good the environment was. And that was only 50,000. You know, if you're 4-0 when Tennessee comes to town in a couple weeks, it's going to be a lot more than 50,000 there. It's going to be closer to 60, maybe even close to capacity. That's what happens when you win. When you win, people show up. That's how it goes. Dossett Big Four, 46 years of great vehicles and award-winning service. If you are looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, whatever the make and model, go see my friends at Dossett Big Four. Get great sales, great service, even after the sale with their award-winning service department. DossettBig4.com or stop by their location, 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo. Dossett Big Four, family-owned vehicles, family-owned destination for great vehicles for 46 years. Back on Thunder and Lightning, we'll talk a little bit more about this and what to come this weekend when we come back.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Alright, you've got me. I don't know it. What is that?
That is a band called Wind Rose. Okay. They're known for being the creators of dwarven metal, inspired by Tolkien.
Okay, I mean I'm a big Tolkien guy, so I've never heard of that band though. So okay,
their music videos are wild.
I may have to check one of them out. You said it's been in your head the past couple days.
Yeah, it's been an earworm of mine for about the last 3 days.
You get it out. Don't you let it go. Let it ride. Thunder and Lightning Live, brought to you by Dossett Big Four, presented by Yuengling Flight. Dossett Big Four, 46 years selling cars in Tupelo, but doing more than selling cars, being a part of their community and being a place you know you can go into and deal with people that you trust. When it comes to keeping your vehicle running smoothly, can count on Dossett Big Four's award-winning service department. Their certified technicians in both the Honda and General Motors service centers are dedicated to providing the best service for your car. Go see my friends at Dossett Big Four if you are looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle today. We've got a text here I want to address. We're going to have a little lecture time here, boys. I hope they're not ranked when they play Tennessee. This is a mindset Mississippi State fans have got to get past. You've got to get past this hole. They play better when they're – you've got to get past this. You've got to hope that your team is ranked number one in the nation every single game. That's what you've got to hope for. Don't hope to be mediocre. Don't hope to be less than what you should be. You should be hoping that that's a top 25 matchup, and that every everybody on college football is like, you know, when we came into this season, we were pointing at Alabama, Georgia, we were pointing at Ole Miss, LSU. Who would have guessed the game of the day is in Starkville between Mississippi State and Tennessee? That's what you want. You don't want to fly under the radar. Jeff Lebby doesn't want to fly under the radar. Jeff Lebby would love to be ranked right now. Jeff Lebby would like to be number one in the nation. Don't that's not the right mentality to have, guys. That whole I hope they're not ranked. They play better when they're not ranked. No. You got to embrace expectations. You got to embrace the pressure of being in the SEC. That's what this is about to me. When I look at this weekend, am I going to do a deep dive into Mississippi State Alcorn? I am not. Mississippi State was 2-10 last year. They played an FCS team in the opener, and they won 56-7. So if this is a better Mississippi State team in every facet, and I believe that it is, I expect the score to be similar. So we just leave it at that. The two keys for Mississippi State this weekend are very simple. Get guys playing time. And stay healthy. And if you do those two things, the score is going to easily take care of itself. This is not even a good Alcorn team. They're 0-2 on the year. They're not good. You should beat them easily. And it's good for State that they're playing Alcorn, because quite honestly, if State was playing an SEC game this weekend, or if they were even playing Northern Illinois, I would be a little more worried. I would think the hangover might get to him. You know, when we talk to Levy, he talks about focus, and I get that, but it's tough to shake that off. I remember very vividly 1996, which, by the way, that was 29 years ago, if you want to feel good and old like I do right now. But State beats Alabama. The next week, they played a non-televised game against Arkansas. By the way, there used to be non-televised SEC games, in case you were wondering. And that game was like at 1:30 in the afternoon. And I mean, just telling you, that crowd was so dead. We were all just sitting there. And I'll never forget, a buddy of mine just stands up and goes, "Hey, we beat Alabama last week," and got a laugh out of the crowd. State ends up losing the game in overtime. And it was just so dead after that big win. It's difficult to do that again. By playing a team like Alcorn, you can have that hangover and start slow and still win the game easily. So it's just not that much of an issue. But this is going to be a weekend where we should see some more of Luke Cromanhawk and Kamario Taylor, and I'm looking forward to that. Cromanhawk is flying under the radar big time here at Mississippi State. I think he's talented. You know, we saw a little bit of him at USM. He can run. He's got some athleticism. He's got a good arm. Taylor, obviously, everybody wants to see him. You know, everybody's excited to see what he looks like. So, what we're looking at, will Taylor play this weekend? Yeah, if Kamario Taylor doesn't play this weekend, it's weird. Like, it doesn't make any sense for him not to play. He'll play. I'm going to imagine he'll get a good bit of the fourth quarter. My guess is Chapin gets most of the first half, if not all of it, and then Cromanhawk in the third quarter, and then Taylor to clean it up. That's probably how that goes. You'll see a good bit of Xavier Gayton and Johnny Daniels, maybe some Colin Wilson. At the receiver core, you'll see Jerron Glover, Marcus Allen, Cam Thompson, a little bit more than you've seen there. Defensively, they'll try to play probably 30, 40 guys. Basically, everybody who dresses this week, it should get a chance to play. And I have that discussion. I'm trying to be respectful to Alcorn, right? But at the same time, it just is what it is, guys. Again, State last year, 2-10, won by 49 when they played an FCS team. This is not a good Alcorn team. They should win this game. I mean, it feels weird to say it out loud, but they should win this game between 45 and 60 points. That's what should happen. If it's close for any reason whatsoever, we got a whole other issue. By the way, Rhino, I said on the air, I've made a guarantee. If State does lose to Alcorn, I quit. I'm out. I can't anymore. I just can't at that point. I'm done. Come back. Get back in the restaurant business or something at that point. I think that the State, you know, these next two games, and Northern Illinois, looking ahead, and that's a good thing about being in the media, and a good thing for you guys being fans, we can look ahead. Yeah, we're not beholden to any one game at a time stuff here. Northern Illinois, if you look at them, offensively they're not a good team. They don't score a lot. But defensively they're not bad. They held Maryland to 20 points. That's an FCS or an FBS power team. Not a great one, but regardless. And of course, you know, this is the same guys that went into Notre Dame last year and won that game. They're not going to be intimidated. Especially since the crowd is not likely to be what it was Saturday night. I am interested to see what the crowd is these next two games. You know, I think State fans are excited, and they'll show up. 5 o'clock kick, too, helps a lot. It's a night game, so you can get a full day of tailgating. You know, you don't have to rush to Starkville or anything like that. 3:15 for next week, maybe a little less. I think you have a bigger crowd this week than last week, because Alcorn will bring some fans, too, I think. And they'll bring the band as well, which is going to be awesome. The Sounds of Dynamite, that's an awesome college band. The two of the best non-conference games I've ever attended at State are the Jackson State and the Alcorn games, just because their bands bring so much juice to the games. They bring a lot of atmosphere, so that's always fun. Which, by the way, I don't know if I've ever pointed this out on the show, but college football is supposed to be fun. That's what they say. It's not really, but it's supposed to be. It's just about staying healthy these next 2 weeks. Handle your business. You should be 4-0 playing Tennessee. Should be in the top 25, should have a massive home crowd when you play Tennessee on the 27th, should be a night game. You know, that schedule, we've talked about it so many times. We know that Arkansas, Notre Dame is your 11 a.m. game, and we know that Georgia, Alabama is one of the night games. Ole Miss, LSU is probably going to end up being a 2:30 game, unless Ole Miss were to drop a game or LSU to drop a game. between now and then. Then State could slide into that 230 spot if both teams are undefeated. Georgia has Tennessee, or Tennessee has Georgia this week, I should say. And so I think they're going to take a loss, but if they don't, and you've got two undefeated teams, that game has a little extra spice to it. So we'll see. I said that about Ole Miss last week. If we lost, I was selling the rest of my season tickets. I was done. And when you play a team like that, yeah. And I'll be honest with you, last year with the Toledo game, I bet a lot of State fans did do that. There are probably a lot who just said, the heck with this, and they didn't come back. They're like, I'll be back next year or something like that. State schedule now, when you look at it, you're trying to find those six wins. You know, you should win the next two, so there's four. Arkansas, I mean, it's at Arkansas. They're a better team than they were last year. That's like the most likely opportunity, but that's certainly not a sure thing. At Florida, I mean, Florida should be a train wreck by the time State gets there. Florida's 1-2, and their next four games are at LSU, at Miami, Texas at home, at Texas A&M. I mean, there's a really good possibility they're 1-5 when they're playing Mississippi State. So maybe that's one. Missouri has been good. Ole Miss at home? I would say right now Ole Miss is probably, it would probably be a 3 or 4 point favorite in that game. But it's in Starkville. Crazier things have happened. It's all about finding some more wins. And you know, the discussion is just so different if State doesn't win that game Saturday night. We're talking about, well, you know, they're obviously better, but how much better is the record going to be? We don't have to do that. We can talk about State being a bowl team, and we're not, you know, we're not being ridiculous about it. That's exciting. And you should be excited about where your football program is headed. You should be headed to game day this weekend with a Yuengling flight, the next generation of light beer brewed for fans who never settled. If you're tuning into sports, if you're watching the games, if you're tailgating, Flight by Yuengling is the perfect beer to have in hand. America's newest light beer from America's oldest brewery, crisp, clean, and brewed for today's beer drinker. Enjoy responsibly. Flight by Yuengling, brewed for those who never settle. Back in just a minute, we're going to talk some baseball. In the middle of football season, Mississippi State and the rest of the SEC learned its conference schedule. And, buddy, if you're a season ticket holder, you are getting your money's worth at Duty Noble Field this year. We'll do that when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi, presented by Yuengling Flight and brought to you by Dawson Big Four.
Ace Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. We are presented by Yuengling Flight and brought to you by Dossett Big Four. Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. 46 years of not just selling cars, but selling the American dream. Putting you out there in the car that you want to drive on the open road. That's what 46 years is at Dossett Big Four. And if you're looking for a new car, I can't give a bigger recommendation than for you to head to Tupelo to 628 South Gloucester. Talk to my friends at Dossett Big Four. I know it's the middle of football season. We haven't even gotten into fall ball yet for baseball, but the SEC yesterday released the new schedule for the conference, for conference matchups for baseball. And, buddy, if you are a season ticket holder at Duty Noble Field, you are going to see some humdingers this year. Let's look at this schedule. All right, State has not released the full non-conference schedule yet. I would expect that. I think Arkansas went in and put theirs out. So maybe in the coming days, maybe next week sometime. State starts off conference play on the road March 13th through the 15th, so Friday the 13th in Arkansas. What a great litmus test of a new coaching staff. Arkansas is a program that State has not had any success with in the last few years. The last time they won a series against the Hogs, I believe, was 2018. great chance to go up there and take on a team that will be one of the favorites in the conference this year. First home series is a rematch of the 2021 National Championship Series as Vanderbilt comes to town. Week three, head to Oxford, take on the Ole Miss Rebels. Week four is a Thursday through Saturday series against the Georgia Bulldogs, so Wes Johnson back in Starkville. Tennessee, April 10th through 12th in Starkville. That is my early prediction for Super Bulldog weekend. That will be your spring game or whatever state does in terms of a spring game. That will be that weekend. That's my prediction. Week five, back on the road and in Columbia, South Carolina to take on the Gamecocks. Week six, LSU, the defending national champions, will come to town for a three-game set April 24th through the 26th. Announced that that will be the same weekend as the Starkville Derby. Cotton District going to be really busy. If you're looking to get a table at Two Brothers Smoked Meats, get there early on that weekend because, man, it's going to be hopping in Starkville. Back on the road again, May 1st through the 3rd in Austin, Texas, to take on the Texas Longhorns. Final home series of the season, Auburn, May 8th through the 10th, and then a Thursday through Friday to finish it out as it is every year with all the teams in the conference, with Texas A&M, a trip to College Station. You've got, so what do you got here? You've got the 2019 national champions. You have the 2022 national champions. Remember, there was no 2020 national champion. You have the 2023 national champion. You have the 2024 national champion, and you have the 2025 national champion, because LSU is two of those, by the way. And, by the way, the only reason you don't have the 2021 national champion on that schedule is because you're it. Mississippi State is the 2021 national champion. What a schedule. Goodness gracious. If State comes through that with, you know, three or four games over 500, they talk about easy national seed. Doesn't really matter what the national, what the non-conference is. That's an unbelievable schedule. Your home series, Vanderbilt, Georgia, Tennessee, LSU, Auburn. All of those teams have been to the College World Series in the last 5 years, most of them multiple times. And on the road, Arkansas, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Auburn, I'm sorry, Texas, Texas A&M. I mean, the only thing on the schedule you would look at and go, well, for sure they'll win that series is South Carolina. And even then, I mean, it's the SEC. Crazy things can happen. But it's a tough schedule. Now, this is a team we're talking about, though, that in all likelihood is going to be a preseason top five team. Could be preseason number one. Just depends. You know, when you look at what they brought back with Ace Reese, Noah Sullivan, Bryce Chance, Garrick Fry, what they brought back in terms of the bats, what they brought back in terms of arms with Ryan McPherson and Ben Davis and that group, and then what they added in the transfer portal, and that list is too long for me to go over right here off the top of my head. I mean, and combine that with a coach that everybody would agree is a consensus top three or four coach in the sport at worst. You could probably make a strong case he's, you know, maybe second or third. I wouldn't give him number one right now. I wouldn't. But he's definitely no worse than third or fourth. No worse. Can't be. The expectations are going to be high. And the good news is I think you have a staff here in place that embraces those expectations. I don't know that was necessarily the case the last few years. But the expectations were high and that they didn't, you know. And I never, you know, I talk about that. Like when I talked to Lamonis, he would always say the expectation is Omaha. And I mean, that's what he would say. But then his teams just didn't seem to play with that kind of passion sometimes. I expect that to not be a problem with Brian O'Connor. Interesting comment today from, I forget the kid's name. He's a recruit, visited here on an official weekend. Talked to Bryce Chance. Now, that's a guy who's been in this program now for, 4 years? He said, this is the closest team he's ever been a part of. And we've only really been together for 3 weeks. But he says, we are unbreakable. Now, maybe that's just, you know, recruit speak. I don't know. But that's a really good sign for Mississippi State. If they're saying in 3 weeks, you know, they haven't even practiced yet. They haven't even had a full, you know, fall camp hasn't started up yet. That's a legit fall camp. We can call it fall camp. It happens during the fall. But the expectations are going to be huge. You know, I'm not a national championship or bust kind of guy ever because, you know, it's anything can happen. It's baseball. But it's going to be a disappointing season if this team doesn't make it to Omaha. It's just simple as that. If this team isn't in Omaha, that I will, that would be a disappointing season, in my opinion. Everything is in place for this team to be a top 10 team all year, possibly be a top 5 team, to be a host for a regional, to be a national seed, to host a super regional. And if you can do those two things, then you've given yourself the best possible chance to go to Omaha. And if you don't do it, then, in my opinion, with what you've, with the investment that Mississippi State has put into things, there's no question. Who's number one and number two? Gosh, without I'll talk to Kendall Rogers and answer that for you. I'm just looking at State in a vacuum, and the amount of talent that's on this team, the amount of power they have, the hitters. You know, they got to find a couple guys to be proven aces, but they've certainly got the arm talent up and down the roster. But this is a team that's going to mash next year. Absolutely going to hit home runs from day one. Number one's probably LSU and Tennessee, if I had to guess. Number one, number two, just because they've been the teams that have recruited the best over the past couple of years. But, I mean, if that's your top three, and, by the way, all those teams play each other, I think. I didn't see LSU's schedule. I don't know if LSU plays Tennessee or not. Let's see if I can find it while we're just sitting around here on a Wednesday evening. LSU baseball, do they play Tennessee? They do. They do. They get them in Baton Rouge. So, I assume, yeah. Oh, no, they don't. They go to Knoxville. Never mind. They go to Knoxville. LSU, their SEC schedule, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Tennessee, Ole Miss, A&M, State, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida. So they miss Texas. They missed A&M. That's what they got A&M. They miss Texas. They miss Vanderbilt. And they miss Arkansas. Arkansas is the team. I'll be honest with you. I think Arkansas is the favorite for coaches. Who's number one, number two? Jay Johnson, Tony Vitello. That's easier. Johnson right now, he's won two of the last three national titles. That program's rolling. Vitello, that program's rolling. Those are the one and two for sure. I would have those two guys over O'Connor at this time. O'Connor needs another national title to get there. He would be number one if he won another national title, I think. I agree with myself. Arkansas, though, they don't play LSU. They don't play Texas. They don't play Texas A&M. They don't play Vanderbilt. They don't play Tennessee. Like, they're going to win the SEC. They have a chance on that SEC schedule to go something like 22-8, 23-7, just because they don't play the best teams. I mean, they play State and Ole Miss, and that's kind of it. But it could be a year where, I mean, think about the last few years in the SEC. The team that's been the best overall team in the SEC regular season, that has not been the best overall team in Omaha. It wasn't when State won. It wasn't when Ole Miss won. You know, Tennessee was kind of an outlier 2 years ago when they won the national title and they went all the way. Last year, the preseason number one team in the nation didn't even make the NCAA tournament, Texas A&M. It's a long way to go before we get to baseball, but that schedule is a beast. And it, like I said, State should have 10,000 plus every Saturday for home games in SEC play, and those Tennessee and LSU games will threaten some all-time records at Mississippi State. I don't have any doubt about that. If you're in the Left Field Lounge, no better beer to have out there than a Yuengling Flight. For two reasons. One, it's a great beer. It's cold and crisp and delicious. But best of all, if you're working the grill, have another bratwurst. Have another wing. Have another rib. It's only 95 calories and 2.6 carbs. Heck, have another Yuengling Flight. No beer better on a Mississippi game day than a Yuengling Flight. Brewed for those who never settle. Enjoy responsibly. We'll wrap it up when we come back. You're going to get to hear the Cruton song. A little teaser there. Not football. Chris Jans. Just another day at work for Christopher Paul Jans. We'll do that when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
For a flipping good
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thank you.
All right, one last time here with you on Thunder and Lightning Live here on a Wednesday evening. We are presented by Yuengling Flight, brought to you by Dawson Big Four. If you're not already subscribed to the Thunder and Lightning podcast, you are missing out. You are not in the know. You are part of the minority. Because, man, we have been taking off Thunder and Lightning 5 days a week, Thunder and Lightning live here, Thunder and Lightning post-game following every Mississippi State game, the Mississippi State tailgate show, which is coming to the podcast feed. I'm going to start putting that out there. The pregame show I do for WKBB up here in Starkville in the Golden Triangle. I'm sorry, for WLZA in the Golden Triangle. We'll put that on the podcast feed so you guys can check out that as well. If you just can't get enough Hey Dad, and I don't know why you can't, but if you can't, I got as many options for you as there are, you know, grains of sand on the beach. So check it out at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get your podcast from. Not football. It's men's basketball. Hit it, Rhino. Christopher Paul Jantz. The man is starting to make some headway in the recruiting world. His high school class last year was his best one ever at Mississippi State, and this one looks like it's going to be even better than that one. Today, picking up a commitment from Willie Burnett III, a composite top 100 player, according to the good folks over at 24/7, a four-star shooting guard, 6'4", 175 pounds. Here's the scouting report from 24/7's director of scouting, Adam Finkelstein. Burnett is a volume scorer and playmaker who operates with extreme offensive rebounding, offensive freedom, and gets a corresponding amount of style and flair. He's a streaky bucket getter who can get points on the board in bunches when he gets rolling. Ton of handle, combo moves on the defender and will ultimately shake him. He's elusive with the footwork at his driving. He has advanced left hand. Apparently, he was here this weekend. I mentioned this earlier, or maybe I didn't mention it. State had a massive recruiting weekend for men's basketball and for football. Hundreds of kids on campus, and you couldn't have scripted it any better to find some guys who you would want to influence to have an atmosphere like that, have a result like that. So no football commitments have come of it as of yet, but we'll see how that goes. But from the basketball front, Jantz is starting to build this program up. You know, I said he had, three four-star kids come in last year in his signing class. And this year it looks like he's going to get another three or four more, plus, you know, State good in the portal last year. Should be another tournament team. We're going to be saying the same thing about Mississippi State basketball this year. We're going to say it all season long. It's just going to be about what they do in the tournament, right? We know what the regular season is going to be. You'd like to be a little better. You'd like to be above 500 in the conference. You know, you haven't done that yet under Jantz. But it's just about winning a game, second weekend, doing what you can. You want to have some postseason success here at Mississippi State. That's the only thing lacking for Chris Jantz at this point. So, you know, you've got Hubbard. You build around him. You've got a good team built around him. You're building a young talent. The foundation is very strong. Your NIL situation is great for basketball. There's just no reason this program isn't going to continue forward with Chris Jantz as its coach. So, good pickup for State. Still keeping an eye on Sam Funchess, the four-star center from here in the state of Mississippi, from Germantown. Looking forward to seeing where he ends up. I think he's visiting Gonzaga this weekend. That's an interesting situation there because you think about revenue sharing. Gonzaga doesn't have football. So any money they have for revenue sharing, they can put it all directly into basketball. They can offer some big NIL money, maybe more than even an SEC school could. So that's something to keep an eye on. But if you know, they'll be. I don't sweat the recruiting of men's basketball with Chris Jantz. I don't. It's not even a blip on the radar. I know the players are coming for Mississippi State for as long as Chris Jantz is going to be here. I got to be honest with you. It's been great this week to be able to talk to you about Mississippi State football from a position of optimism. You know, you guys know me. I've made a living. I've made a career off of being that pessimistic guy. And I do that because I try to be truthful and honest with you. And when things are bad, they're bad. It has been a pleasure this week thus far to be able to talk to you. And in all seriousness, I should have two more weeks of this, and then we'll see what happens with the Tennessee game. But it's just been great to be able to have a smile on my face, you know, to talk about this and be happy about it. And I know you guys are happy out there, too. Your excitement is palpable. We saw it last week. We'll see if we see it this week. Yeah, I understand if you want to stay home and watch this game with Richard Cross on the call. I get it. You know, top of his game is Richard Cross. So we'll see what happens. All right, guys. See you tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi. For Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. I'll be in studio tomorrow in Jackson. See you guys there on Sports Talk Mississippi. This is Thunder and Lightning Live. Super Talk Mississippi. Talk to you later.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.